Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah over there.
It certainly is.
And that guy all the way over there is Chris.
Hello!
Eating is a source of great joy to many and can be a time for people to come together and socialise. However, choosing what to eat can be a cause for concern for those with limited or perhaps more demanding palates. Today, we're answering this question. Are you a picky eater?
So, I don't think I am. But I think some people might say I was. I know my mother certainly does. She, when she heard about what we were doing for this show, immediately texted me with all the foods I don't like to remind me.
That is
Mum.
Helpful, Mum. Loves a list.
And I do feel bad because, like, she raised me, you know, eating all the you know, home cooked food. Mm. You know, very very rarely it was fish fingers in our house. It was, you know, the proper home cooked stuff, fruits and veggies. And sounds then awful. Just as an adult, I just love, like, junk food. So I think maybe I am.
Well, I mean, when you say that she gave you a list, I mean, how long was the list? Because I could, if I was to kind of go through all the things that I don't like right now, people would make a very, very negative judgment about me and think, you are an absolute nightmare. You're never going to come around to my house. You need to grow up. You're not an adult. You're an absolute disgrace. And they would cancel me. Not in that kind of way, but they would just write me off.
I mean, so I'm probably the same in that there is a big long list of things I don't like. Hmm. However, if, you know, if you're having me around for dinner and you say, is there anything you don't eat? I'm not going to reel off the list because I'm not an asshole.
What would you say? What would you say, though? Would you say anything? If someone said, is there anything you don't eat?
Yep, she'd intentionally get COVID, so she lost her taste buds and wouldn't have to worry about it.
That happened to me. My goodness, I ate a lot of salad in those weeks. Sarah, what would you say, though? Would you say, actually, I'm not...
I would say I will eat anything except goat's cheese.
Goat's cheese, eh?
I'm sorry, goat's cheese. People go on about how amazing goat's cheese. I like cheese, okay?
Who goes
goat's on? Cheese ruins everything.
Who goes on about goat's cheese?
No,
some people who like space.
Know. Yeah, probably.
Who are these, like, people you hang out with?
Or people are always, oh, it's a warm goat's cheese and fig salad. Oh, it's so delicious. And I'm like, sounds rank.
So would you pick out the goat's cheese in a salad?
Yeah. That's the one thing where it's like, I could force it down if I really, really, really needed to, but I really, really, really don't want to.
Yeah, but Sarah, I think goat's cheese, if you don't like goat's cheese, that's perfectly understandable. I mean, even I often find myself, if I'm surprised, I use myself as the basement bar.
You're normative, are you?
No, I'm not normative. I am the bad standard. And if anybody says anything, that, you know, I'll often find myself going, even I eat that. And that would be the same for goat's cheese. But I mean, I'll just rattle off some things that I don't like. And perhaps this will put you in perspective. Mustard, mayonnaise, ketchup, mint. Mint belongs in toothpaste and nowhere else. Tea, coffee, alcohol. There you go. How about that for starters? Do you feel
that
better about
quite
yourself?
Comprehensive. Yeah, exactly. I do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All mustards, or just like English mustard?
All mustards, all vegetables, all salads, anything healthy. Get it, but don't worry. I'm getting better, so I don't want to just leave it here, but I just wanted to say that that's what we're dealing with. Melons, watermelons, crap. Okay, there's so much.
Agree.
Yeah, but Sarah, so I don't think you're as bad. So I want people to feel better about themselves. That's why I'm doing this, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, not at all.
I really appreciate this.
Not at all.
I just want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to go away from this show feeling better. In fact, I'm going to ask my mum to listen to this episode.
Yeah.
And recognise that, you know, at least you weren't her child.
Well, and she'll be delighted about that. I mean, I regularly get scurvy.
You say vegetables. I am not, like, I eat them because...
Of course, of course.
You need to eat vegetables.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy them. Mm. And one of the things that I learned to do when I started having to, you know, cook for myself as an adult...
Mm-hmm. Put goat cheese on it.
Like you do with children... Mm. Keep that goat cheese away from them, please. I would hide them from myself in the meal. Mm-hmm. So I would like grate up courgettes.
Yeah, grating is a good, very good way of doing that.
Yeah. All about the grating. But or, yeah, just like people talk about how to sneak food into children's meals.
Spiralizer.
Do the same for myself.
Get a spiralizer.
Oh, I love a spiralizer.
Yeah, very,
yes.
Very, very, very good indeed. Chris, what about yourself? Are you a picky eater?
Not compared to you guys. I like the idea that parents are listening to this show and they now know how to deal with their tantrum throwing toddlers who won't eat the food just from knowing what you guys have said. I think, like you said, my mum would say that I used to be a picky eater as a kid, and I would throw back at her, maybe she just wasn't a very good cook. Of which is not true if she's listening. It might be true if she's not. She has got better. I don't think
you'd be a picky eater if you're like, I don't like burnt food. I don't think it's, you know.
We grew up in a different era, Marcus. We talked about this before the show, and I feel like food's got better now. So when you guys were talking about
much better,
I was thinking, well, vegetables I don't like, I just roast with like salt on it now, and that makes the world a difference. Yeah.
Mm. So garlic and lemon.
If you don't like broccoli, roast it. Completely changes it. But that wasn't done when we were kids. Everything was boiled.
Everything was boiled. Everything
microwave
was boiled.
In our house.
And I'm just like, well, I didn't like broccoli then because it was overboiled and grey and mushy.
Yeah.
Now you can flavour it and it's actually rather nice.
Yeah, the boiling community was rife in the 80s and the 90s and has somewhat
I blame them for obesity now because we've kicked back. We've gone, I'm not eating that. I want a burger from McDonald's.
I think picky eaters, I think that there's more ridicule nowadays, perhaps, in this day and age, where everyone's a bloody foodie.
Because of all the food shows, isn't it?
I don't know.
They've
what it
just
is,
exploded
Chris.
Over the last 10 years. So you think about when you were a kid, you had like maybe one or two food shows. Mm. Now it's just on all the time. So as you said, everybody's a critic. Everyone's watching it.
But I mean, the fetishization of food is a daft thing. And especially with social media, oh, get a load of me, I'm eating this. And, I really love food. It's like, yes, I remember Tommy Cooper said, I love food, I don't eat anything else. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it is a little bit sort of daft these days. But it's interesting to say about parents and kids and so on, because this is probably where it all begins. But according to the British Dietary Association spokesperson Priya Too. By the age of five, most children stop being fussy about what they eat and try a greater range of foods, which is interesting. And then many people grow out of fussy eating as they approach teenage years, as food becomes a more of a social issue with eating out with friends and all that kind of stuff. But
I read that your taste buds are often associated with what your mother ate when you were in her womb.
Really?
And so if she was prone to garlic, then you as a baby will not reject it, or carrots and things like that. But after two, but babies will eat most things up until they're 2 years old. Mm-hmm. After two, they don't want new foods. So I guess there's a bad window between two and five, mm-hmm. where they just reject all new foods. So the idea is you give all the food that you want them to eat before they're two, and then that way they'll get used to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the what one's mother eats when you're in her belly, because
that would be
a damning indictment on my mother, and she has got a very very wide and cultured palate, whereas I don't. But you do get what are classified as super tasters, who have more taste buds on their tongues than the average person. That is a thing.
Yeah.
And of the four tastes of sweet, sour, salty, and bitter, I know there's. What is it, umami or something? Or there's another taste nowadays which somebody discovered. They're sensitive to bitter, super tasters. I wonder if I'm one of these people.
I wonder if I am as well.
I might as well throw myself into the mix to take a little bit of heat off myself.
Yeah, I read 25% of the population actually have super taste buds.
Yes, so it's a significant minority, but they like a more beige diet, which. That is me.
I tend to
not nowadays. It can be improved, and I am
Do you
improving.
Like coriander?
One of my favourite tweets of all time was Liam Gallagher.
I will
censor this because he said, "I effing hate coriander. It's an absolute sea's trick." Which really made me laugh.
Apparently,
he's
super
got the funny
tasters.
Taste buds.
Apparently, often super tasters don't like coriander because there's like 40 different organic ingredients in coriander.
I don't mind a little bit. I don't like too much, though. You can definitely have too much coriander, but I don't mind a little bit. Which perhaps shows I'm improving.
My wife's got super taste buds. And right. So she thinks all the food I cook is really rich because like to flavour it with, you know, flavours and salt and stuff. And she's not really like, she doesn't really drink that much. But every time we go wine tasting, she can nail whatever's on the back of the bottle. Wow. So that she'll go, I don't know, blueberry, it feels a bit woody. And they'll be like, oh yeah, there's hints of blueberry and it's done in an oak barrel and this sort of stuff. And she can absolutely nail it.
That's impressive.
I've got another friend, she's even more impressive. And we've been with her and she's taste tested bottled water and can tell the difference.
That is impressive.
What? Like off the chart. That is good.
Impressive. See, yeah. I can tell the difference.
Never invite her for dinner.
I can tell the difference between our whites and Schweppes lemonade.
Can you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty impressive.
Not quite as impressive.
You know, or Orangina and Fanta. I think that's
Pepsi and cola.
It can be improved upon these things. So to try and put myself not in such an uncultured and, you know, an area of ridicule. I mean, really, since I've been married, I've got better. My wife has sort of dragged me up a bit here. And you're right, Sarah, when you think of vegetables, actually vegetables to me now are a vital part of dinner. Whereas before I would reluctantly have them. I now think, oh, no, actually that would be quite nice. Because as you said, Chris, you can do them in a variety of ways. It's just not boiling them as we would do in this country in the 80s and the 90s. So you can, you know, you can be sort of quite creative and actually... It does make it. So, for example, onions, I wouldn't sort of put. But then you suddenly realise you start putting onions into meals, and you go, "Oh my goodness, that's why." So, you know, 99% of dishes have onions, and I know people will be laughing at this, going, "Oh my goodness, you absolute Neanderthal." But you know, that's where I was at. You know, things like garlic, as you say, Chris, chilies, you know, even tomatoes. I mean, I hate tomatoes on their own, but you know, the ingredient and so on and so forth. I think that's why in this country, as you say, in decades gone by, the food groups, it was very basic. And that's not great. Whereas if you think about, say, I don't know, say, for example, a country which obviously is very well known for its food, say Thailand, there's a lot of coconut milk and that kind of thing. And that coconut milk...
The spices.
Yeah, but it covers a multitude of bad tastes, coconut milk and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So you could have a vegetarian dish and you'd be like, this is bloody excellent.
I think as well, I was just thinking about this as you were saying about the super tasters. I think there's a difference between being a picky eater and just not liking things. Okay, so, Marcus, you know, you just reeled off a big list of things you don't like. And, you know, I said I've got quite a few as well.
Yeah.
But I think being a picky eater is if you refuse to eat them and you refuse to even try them or maybe try them again. You can't help the fact that you don't like how something tastes. Like it's a biological thing that's happening in your mouth.
I'm going to disagree there.
No, but
you can change your taste buds.
Yeah, but so if you're prepared to say, I don't love it, like for example, you know, vegetables, I don't love them. I know I need to have them. I will keep trying them. That's fine in my books. It's if someone goes, nope. No, I'm not. No.
Oh, yeah.
I tried it once back in 1997, and I'm not trying.
But that would be a stubborn eater if we're going to really try and think about categories. Because I think you can change your taste buds, and as I say, I'm proof of that. That I am so much better than what I used to be. I mean, I still don't. I can't stand mustard and mayonnaise and so on. But those sort of things, even tea and coffee, I think I'm very happy to kind of go through life without that. But things like vegetables and things like, as I just mentioned previously, there with certain ingredients. No, they make meals better. There's no two ways about that.
I made myself like, and I actually like them now, mushrooms and tomatoes. I hated them as a kid. Mm. If I had a tomato, it would make me like kind of upchuck a bit and I'd hate it.
Yeah,
but I was so sick of going around people's house for dinner.
Yeah.
And when I was in my early 20s, that and they'd serve you, it was always mushrooms and tomatoes. It was guaranteed the things I hate, and it would be on the plate. And I read an article saying that if you eat something 10 to 15 times, it must be in like short succession, you'll change your taste buds. So basically, for 2 weeks flat, I had a fry up, which, because obviously you can have bacon and sausage, and had chopped up the mushrooms really small because I didn't like the texture. They're a bit sluggy. And then after that, I actually didn't mind them. So that's what I mean. Like, you can really intentionally change it. But it was just those two things. I was like, why do people want to give me that food all the time? And you don't, as you said, you don't want to be the person going, can I not have mushrooms or tomatoes? Not when you're an adult. And not when you're trying to date people and you're going around their family's house for dinner and it's really embarrassing.
No, you're right. Mushrooms are definitely one that I've acclimatized to a little bit. Again, I think, you know, do I like them? I mean, you know, someone said to me, oh, the world has run out of mushrooms and there's no intention to grow anymore. I wouldn't be particularly bothered. But I've certainly warmed up to them. You know, I'll never like mushrooms as much as I like bacon. You know what I mean? Mm. But you can, I think you can kind of get by. There's one food that I actually quite like, and it shouldn't be the case. Olives. I quite like olives.
Oh, I love an olive.
But you think about it, with my palate and with my...
They're a very strong, definite flavour.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially if you say, you know, you're into beige.
Yeah.
They are not beige by any standard.
Yeah. I was really pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, I feel I've got away with that somehow, you know.
Marcus, it's interesting. I'm reminded, you know, you do sound relatively picky, right?
Hmm.
But I asked the listeners if they had any... thoughts, comments, questions, feelings around picky eating. And we got a message sent in by someone who I think rivals you as a picky eater. Let me tell you what she said. And if you feel you still deserve the crown, you can have it.
So
this is from Georgia. And she said, it's actually such a huge burden being a picky eater. I'm so grateful I've got slightly better in the last few years. Up until the age of around 23, she's now 28, all I ate was bread, cheese, pasta and chips. Cream-coloured foods, my friend always say.
Beige.
It's definitely more of a texture thing for me. I hate really saucy things, especially tomato-based, soup, curry. I don't even have tomato puree on pizza. And a lot of fruit with furry or chunky textures, like oranges, kiwis, strawberries.
Mm.
In recent years, I started eating a few new things like white sauces with pasta, tacos, fajitas, which has made my life 10 times easier, although I still get filled with dread going to a restaurant I've never been to before.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how, you know, whenever she orders, you know, she asks for loads of things to be taken off. Weddings are a nightmare and everyone asks her why she's not eating things.
Mm-hmm.
But she promises she is getting better.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon? Does Georgia beat you?
I think Georgia has the crown, definitely, because
if
I go to a wedding, for example, or a restaurant, I never worry.
Really? Yeah,
never. I, like I say, I know that I've listed off a lot of things there, but I mean, I love curries. I love all, you know, people. Do you know what another thing is annoying is if you think you're a picky eater, people go, oh, I don't like foreign muck and all this kind of stuff. That's actually not true at all. And with my point about, say, Thai food or Indian food, actually, if you're a picky eater in terms of not liking the base ingredient, I think that's what it is. It's the base ingredient. It's the actual tomato itself. I wouldn't have a raw tomato. I wouldn't have a raw carrot. Or the carrot, actually, carrots are much better than tomatoes, but I wouldn't particularly. Whereas put them in a meal and a dish and all that kind of stuff, there you go. So in terms of curries, in terms of Mexican food and all the rest of it, absolutely brilliant. You know, it's one of the best things about traveling, of course. Whereas poor old Georgia here seems to be struggling a little bit. Getting better, though, Georgia. That's
well done, Georgia.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Interesting that the texture seems to be the thing, not the
flavor. The texture's not a problem for me.
That's my big thing.
Yeah,
broccoli. Oh, broccoli, the texture of broccoli. What is that about? It's those little bubbles that get stuck in your teeth and they're just, and it's like dry, but it's also not. And it's just, texture. I think texture is big for me.
Yeah. Texture doesn't bother me, I have to say. My tip, my big tip for those who are picky eaters, not so much, I mean, texture, I think there's not much you can do about that. You just have to train yourself if indeed you want to. But my tip is that if you're served something that you don't like, and it's kind of like, because usually you're served on a plate, there will be something you like. There'll be a meat option, some sort of fish or potato, whatever it may be. There'll be something there. You kind of mix it in a bit and you can get by. But if you're served something and you're like, you've covered that in mustard or whatever it may be, that like I'm done for here, then my tip is quite simply, it's very basic, do not breathe through your nose when you eat it. And it's very, very, very simple. And then make sure you have a glass of something that you like to wash it down with. Because if you're at someone's house, this is what I'm talking about, if you're at someone's house, really, or something like that, they'll always give you a bit of orange juice or whatever it may be. You take away your breathing through your nose, then don't take too many big bites because you might suddenly sort of be out of breath and that might be quite weird. But
although orange juice combined with mint, Marcus, is not a nice flavour in the mouth.
True.
I've never done it, but mint usually doesn't dominate a plate of food.
Wait till you come round.
Minty tomatoes.
There you are. A bowl of mint.
I'll bring a tube of Pringles. Because if you don't like the smell of a food, then you probably won't like it. I know maybe one or two, say, dairy products might not follow that, but generally that I think that's the case.
Yeah.
What's the strangest food that you've eaten then? Or that you've rejected? Like, I remember being in Vietnam and they were trying to feed us chicken testes, and I was like, I don't want to eat it. Like, it was just, you turned off when you know what it is. Like, the texture might have been fine, the flavour might have been fine. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't want it. I'm sorry. Thank you, but no thanks. I'll fast today.
This is where I think actually I'm slightly annoyed that I've been labelled as a picky eater, because I have tried quite a few weird things. Mm. I think the weirdest one possibly for me was when I was in Palermo, and I tried a local delicacy, which is a lung and spleen sandwich.
Oh, right.
I believe it was either pig or cow. I think it was pig. I didn't love it. It was in the sort of tomatoey sauce, which was quite nice, but it was very... You knew it wasn't just a little bit of, you know, pork meat. You knew it was... You knew there was something in there that wasn't quite what you'd normally have.
That's where texture can come in with meat. Yeah.
It was sort of slippery.
I know what you mean.
But I tried it. Yeah. And you know what? I think if you try it, you're allowed to say, that's not for me.
Mm. And you don't regret trying that bat in Wuhan either, do you? It was all fine after that.
Get some little interesting delicacies, like in some parts of Eastern Europe. I mean, it was Ukraine for me, where you have the pig fat, so strips of fat, which immediately you sort of turn your nose up and go, well, I mean, obviously you're not going to have a whole plate full, but it's pretty damn good.
Was it dry, like crackling?
No, it was softer.
Chewy.
Slithery.
It was nice. It was decent, yeah. I liked it. Ooh. But I mean, yeah. But I think, yeah, as I say, when I call myself a picky eater, if you invite me around for dinner, you don't have to worry. And I'm getting...
We give you some crisps.
My wife is made me a lot better. She's made me a lot better. Do you know what it was? I think it was more the fear of not liking something. And then when you get stuck in, you go, oh, actually, this isn't too bad. This is all right. My friend Nick, who I went travelling with around South America, he used to be the guy who I would often turn around to him and say, do you think I'd like that? Because he was quite good with food, still is. And I remember once being, I forget which restaurant it was, and I phoned him up and I said, I'm out with a load of people, and this is the menu. What do you think I'll like on the menu? Because I had no idea. I forget which country's cuisine it was. I think, do you think I'll like that? And he was like, oh, you'll like that, yeah. And then, of course, as I say, I mean, I'm talking about years and years ago, this sort of thing, you know. But you get better. You do get better. You have to. You should do, for nutritional sake.
It's interesting you mentioned about your wife making you get better, Marcus. Quite a few people who wrote in did actually say that it was, you know, to try and impress people or whatever. They managed to get past their picky eating, which I thought was quite nice. And, you know, doing it for other people. Tom Place said, I used to be really picky. Met my wife, went for dinner and didn't want to embarrass myself. So I ate all my greens.
Yeah.
Turned out I liked them. Never went back, but I still hate mushrooms. Mushrooms are a classic one.
Yeah, I think
Sam Linus said, never trust people who eat mushrooms, which was a little bit strong, Sam. that felt a bit much.
That's
but,
a fun
you know.
Guy, is he?
No. There's a classic. You know, I used to work with someone who said they hated eating. I promise you, they said they hated eating.
You don't hate.
And she said that if there was a pill you could take to get all your nutrients and everything, that would be very happy with that.
There is a shake. Have you heard of Huel?
Oh, I have, yeah.
I've tried it, actually. I didn't love it, but it's fine. But that apparently gives you all the
stuff you need.
The nutrients that you need. Mm. So maybe she's on the heels now.
Yeah,
I feel like that person who wouldn't eat has had some traumatic event with food in their past, and it's just put them off. I had one once where my mum, bless her again, undercooked a chicken burger before she left me with a babysitter, and my dessert was Watsits. So you can imagine how the carpet was destroyed when the chicken burger decided to make a reappearance along with the Dayglo orange Watsits. And that put me off of chicken for, battered or breadcrumb chicken for years. I never had a KFC till I was like 25 because I just was like, I'm not eating that chicken.
Oh, I feel a bit sick thinking about it.
That's very strange, I have to say. So you had Watsits for dessert?
No, I mean, that is also weird.
It's not a dessert. I basically wanted a bag of Watsits and I had a bag of Watsits after. But,
oh, I see. That makes sense. Yeah.
Babysitter lets you have as many Watsits as you want. Shame on her. Came back to haunt her.
Sarah, did we have any more correspondence from our good listeners?
We did. They were quite... Turns out this is a subject which gets people quite quite fired up.
Oh.
Both the picky eaters and the non-picky ones. We had Liz say, I feel a bit sorry for picky eaters. Must be awkward at dinner parties. That's very, very reasonable. Meshal said, as a picky eater, I understand the frustration from others, but for the love of God, leave us be.
See, again, though, I stress that there's a lot of things that I don't like, but again, at dinner parties and the rest of it, I've never struggled, I've never had the fear in this. So
you've not been difficult.
No, so I don't. I think that there's a different... Yeah, I think that I just... Maybe it might be better to say I've got an uncultured... Well, no, because I don't like some of the lot. Yeah. Maybe there's a different there's a different level of picky, I think.
I find that people always ask now before you, is there anything you don't eat? Because of allergies, because people can't eat certain foods more and more. That I feel like it's more of a done thing.
Yeah. It's the vegans, that's why.
So now when people are like, is there anything you don't eat? And they're thinking allergies, I'm like, yes, aubergines and cauliflower. I can't outstand them.
I think, there were some of the listeners who were a little bit less sympathetic.
Go on.
Our very own Coxie. He says, get a grip. If you don't like it, fair enough, but have the balls to try it. Fair enough.
Try the balls.
Which is what Chris
Which
didn't
you did,
do.
Chris.
Yeah, it was what I didn't
oh,
do.
Oh,
you
didn't.
All right, Coxie.
I mean, you're allowed to be fussy with that kind of an option in front of you. The wonderful Macca says, it's allowed, but no one wants to hear about it.
Okay. Suffering silence.
Force it down. Just force it. Just as Marcus says, hold your nose, wash it down with the orange juice.
Light your feelings, bottle it up. No one cares.
And finally, Dance Between the Lines, this person goes by online, says it's only acceptable if you've tried the thing and decided you don't like it. It's silly if you're hating before you've given it a try. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Oh, I see. Well, that was last week's.
That was last week's show.
I think that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
I think that's that. I would probably go with that one. You know, like I said.
Yeah.
Don't be difficult, but also I get it. Yeah. I love beige too.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, we had a tweet also from Matt who said, I took my wife to an American barbecue restaurant in Chester on our first date. She ordered mac and cheese. It's almost a miracle we're nearly here. We're here nearly 6 years later. I mean, again, though, that's unadventurous. I think what people are saying. And his wife, I assume it's his wife, Kaylee, said, in my defence, I like to eat what I know. The first time I go somewhere, I'm a convert now, although I miss living close to it.
Oh, there we go then. Oh, that had a happy ending though.
It did have a happy ending. Judge those people on their results, I would say.
Yeah.
It worries me though, if you don't like certain foods. You know when people want to share foods? You know when you order loads of like takeaways and stuff, like, should we share? And it's a bit like... Can we not? I kind of know what I want.
Oh, you're that guy.
Well, I'm better now. I remember once, Marcus, you might have even been there. It was when I lived in Shepherd's Bush with the lads. And they were like ringing up going, oh, we're going to go order a load of pizzas. And I was like, oh, I haven't had a pizza in ages. And I like really studied the menu. And I thought, I really want this. And then it came to it and they were like, oh, we're all going to share. And I was like, nope. Absolutely not. And they were flabbergasted, like, oh, I didn't think you'd be that guy. I said, no, you don't understand. Like, I know what I want. If you wanted what I wanted, why didn't you order it? I don't want the rubbish you've ordered. Let me eat what I want. So I don't think I was being picky, but I was being unkind and unsharing. Yes.
Yeah. So don't be unadventurous. Don't be stubborn. Don't be unkind. And just do your best.
Don't boil your food.
No, don't. Yeah. There are other ways of doing it. So there we are, everybody. I think we've answered that question. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@AQQAPod. And we're on Insta and Twitter @AQQAPod. Lovely old job. Thanks very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Cheers, pal.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.